Welcome back to Radio Entrepreneurs. My name is Jeffrey Davis, and you know, this show is all about entrepreneurs. We've spoken to over 6,000 entrepreneurs and business leaders over the last few years. Our next guest, thanks to Peter Morrison, who's my co-host, it's going to be interesting to hear the entrepreneurial twist on this one for me. We're speaking with Bob Cochin, Chief of Police at the Tarpon Springs, Florida. Correct?
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's great to be here, Jeff. And I thought Bob would be interesting because he has a bunch of jobs in Tarpon Springs. And, you know, it's, I kind of think that running a police, a mid-sized, excuse me if I call it mid-sized, Bob, but...
Yeah, you're the police expert, right?
Yeah, well, okay. No, Bob's the police expert. It's sort of like running a business. You know, how do you manage it? How do you, what do you do to make people, you know, good employees and happy employees? And, you know, how do you make things work well? So I thought Bob would be kind of interesting, aside from the fact that he's a pretty interesting guy. So Bob, you know, maybe start this off by telling us a little bit about who you are and how you got to be a policeman.
Okay, well, good morning, everyone, from sunny Florida, where it's 94 degrees, hot and humid.
It's always 72 here.
Yes, me too. That must be nice. But I'm sure you guys will warm up a little bit as, you know, you get into the summer months. But
starting tomorrow, it's back to the 90s.
Oh, there you go. There you go. We're used to that kind of weather. But, yeah, I've been in police work over 30 years. I've been with this agency for over 30 years. And you know, we are located in the Tampa Bay region. We're actually in Pinellas County, Florida, so we're on the coast. Our population is about 25,000, and we are what's called, you know, a city manager form of government where you have a commission, but it's not a strong mayor. The commission hires a city manager, and then the city manager pretty much is the CEO of the city, and the city manager hires all the department heads, and there's like 15 of us. You have police, fire, public works, and on and on. So our police department, we service, again, a community of about 25,000. We have 53 sworn officers, and I've come up through the ranks, starting from, you know, police officer, to corporal, to sergeant, all the way up through the ranks from, you know, from captain and to chief. So I've been in command levels for 20 years and chief for the last 10. So it's been an interesting career, a lot of experience, obviously, in police work. But I think our agency, and I know Peter wants to talk about this, we're really unique in the service delivery or the service that we provide to our community.
You know, I think that is kind of what I want to talk about. So how do you manage to, you know, have happy employees? How do you manage to provide those services?
Well, and what makes it unique? You said there's a unique process in place. So I like to hear about that too.
Sure. You know, I've learned all through the years, you know, being a police chief, coming up through the ranks, it really is all about leadership. And I don't use that as a buzzword. I really mean that. Leadership, it's not easy. But when you get to this level, everything is about your vision, your mission statement. So with our agency, we really evolve around our strategic plan. It's a five-year plan. We have all of our stakeholders involved, to include the city commission, the city manager, our stakeholders in the community, of course, our police officers. Actually, when we did this plan, which we evaluate every 6 months, it was actually driven from the bottom up. So as a police chief, I'm a big believer in not being monolithic and being, you know, diverse and creative. So we decentralize, you know, our command staff, we decentralize command and control. And I love to put things on the line level because that's where the rubber hits the road. So the sergeants and the corporals and the officers, they're given so much flexibility to be creative, go out there and do their job. I mean, you know, a big part of our job, obviously, is arresting people when they commit violations of the law. But on the other side of the equation, the more important thing is unique services that we provide to the community. We really are big in, you know, working with kids. We have a cops and kids program. We go into the elementary schools and we mentor kids. I've got about 20 officers that on a weekly basis go into the elementary schools and they mentor kids. They teach an actual class, all the way from, you know, our homeless outreach program when we have a problem with homelessness in the city. So we have two homeless outreach officers that really try and work with these homeless folks to get them off the street and to get them into programs that address their issues. And we work this with our stakeholders, with social care agencies, with the churches, with, you know, organizations that provide, you know, food for them. So we've gotten just on the homeless issue by being creative, because you can never arrest or prosecute your way out of a homeless problem. That doesn't work. So we've gotten about 300 homeless folks off the street and into those programs that will address, you know, their mental illness or their drug addiction problem or their alcohol problem or a combination of all. And we've seen probably about 60% of them stay off the street. So that's when you're creative, and I'm not running that program, that's run at the sergeant's level. They're doing that. I mean, yes, we give them the resources, we give them the feedback, we'll go out and help them out, but that is driven from the bottom of the organization up. So Bob, just like a good, sorry, Pete.
What I'm interested in, I like the programs. How did you gain buy-in and commitment to that, since you're trying to get this to be done at a grassroots level?
Buy-in commitment for the homeless outreach program, or
first the buy-in, the commitment from the staff who work for you. You know, they have to buy into that value system. And you don't I don't think you're not doing all the recruiting, are you? Did you change the recruiting methods, the training methods of your staff? You know, I'm interested in all that as a leader of organizations.
Sure. Basically, everything is about your culture as a leader. And you gotta, when you're at the top, you gotta basically walk the walk and talk the talk. If you don't do that, you mean nothing. So all the way from the bottom up, from when we hire people, we try and hire the best officers we possibly can. And then when we put them through our training program, all of our values, and we have 5 core values: integrity, professionalism, quality, creativity, and accountability. And I've been known to walk around the hallways with new recruits and stop them and go, what are our 5 core values? And usually they can repeat them. When they can't, the next time I see them, they definitely repeat them to me. But, you know, it's about living these values. It's about having a real strategic plan. And what I mean by that is, I've seen way too many organizations, they write up a nice strategic plan and it's 500 pages and, oh, it looks so pretty, and they don't get the stakeholders involved, or they don't get the community involved, and they don't get the buy-in. You know, the people that are carrying out your strategic plan, their fingerprints have to be all over it. And then it sits on some shelf for 5 years collecting dust, and it's not real. Our strategic plan is 10 pages long. And the rest is about your culture. It's about your leadership. And it's about allowing those people that work in the trenches, because that's where the rubber hits the road, to do their job, giving them the resources, and to be out there with them when they're doing their job. That's really how you get the buy-in. That's what leaders do.
I mean, it's really a kind of fascinating story. If people don't buy in, how do you monitor that?
Well, I mean,
as a manager.
Sure. At my level, you know, again, you know, when you're the chief of police, you know, again, we're an organization, we have a command staff, and we have whole, you know, layers of supervision, but it's pretty streamlined. So if we have officers, because we have evaluation systems that when we actually sat down to do our evaluation system with HR, we actually got feedback from the union as what the expectations are. What do you think their job is as an officer? And here's what we think their job is. And when you put that all together and you write out a job description, the officers have, and the union have, their fingerprints all over it. So they clearly know what the expectations are. So if we have an officer that, let's just say, is not buying in to our values, especially if they're on probation, we'll work with them. You know, we'll try and provide them with feedback. We'll provide them with evaluations. We'll document the fact that they need, you know, improvement in certain areas that we expect. And ultimately, if they don't do that, if they're not a good fit for us, they're not really meant for this organization. So especially in the probationary period, it's really important for leaders to understand that probationary period is the test to decide whether or not someone's a good fit for your organization based on your culture, your values, your vision, and your mission statement. So, you know, there are times where we basically have to wash officers out of the FTO program, that's field training, because they're really just not a good fit for us.
You know, we're almost out of time, but you told me an interesting story that I think is kind of interesting, would be interesting to hear about, you know, your selection of policemen and how you managed to get some kid off the streets and now he's a cop.
Yeah, we have, and this is started by our former chief. We have a cops and kids program, and that program has really morphed into an awesome program. We have an officer assigned to it full time, and we have some county agencies that provide social workers and teachers, And basically, we mentor kids, at-risk kids. And these are kids that really have no good family structure. They don't have resources. So we have after-school programs in that. We provide field trips for them. We monitor, we mentor these kids, really kind of help them, you know, get a leg up to try and find the right track. So one of our officers is now a sergeant. He was in that program years ago, and he was from a broken family. And, you know, he was basically, you know, at a point in his life where, are you going to go down the right track or are you going to go down the wrong track? And he was in this program. And I'm sure there were some other factors in his life that helped him out. But I know that program had a big impact on him and the mentoring that we did. And he went down the right track. And he went in the Army. He did 2 or 3 tours in Iraq. I mean, totally awesome guy. And when he came back to our community, he went to the academy. We hired him as a police officer, and I promoted him to a sergeant a couple of years ago. And that's a phenomenal story. And that's a story of a program that's real and a program that works.
You know, that's a great story, Bob. I mean, you know, about how you not only walk the walk, but, you know, do the good things in life. So
absolutely.
You know, from my point of view, this has been a really interesting interview, and I think our listeners will enjoy it.
If someone were looking to get your assistance, how would they find you?
Oh, well, we have a website. We have all kinds of information on our website that people can get a hold of me, you know, email, direct phone number. So yeah, if anybody is interested in, you know, what we do down here and some of our programs, some of, you know, things that we do in our strategic plan, you know, look us up, give us a call, and, you know, we love to work with people.
What's the website, Bob?
Well, it'd be Tarpon Springs Police Department.
That's
all you got to do is Google. Yes.
Good.
Tarpon Springs Police Department, and, you know, you'll come to our website and there's a lot of information there.
You know, Bob, I want to thank you for calling us today and, you know, continued success. And, you know, public service, I think, is still a very honorable profession. So thanks for calling in to Radio Entrepreneurs today.
Thanks, well, thank you, guys. I really appreciate the time. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a great day. Remind everybody, this is Radio Entrepreneurs. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back after these messages.